Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. On Sunday evenings, we've been working our way through the book of Hebrews. And we've hit every chapter and every verse. And we've reached chapter 11. And really everything, if you would read the book through, has built up to chapter 11. We call this the Hall of Faith, where God highlights the faith of Old Testament saints, challenging the believers that the same faith is true today for our lives as believers. But I want to notice here, if we back up in chapter 10, before we go into chapter 11, notice verse 36. We'll pick it up in verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The Bible says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to preach this evening on this, faith in the life of the believer. Let's pray this evening. Let's ask the Lord to give us understanding this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. I pray that you would help your Word to be precious in our sight, that we would be faithful in reading your Word, not just in church, but outside of church on a daily basis, meditating upon your Word. Lord, as we think about the subject of faith, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we examine this passage this evening, I pray that you'd give us understanding, challenge us this evening, and Lord, help us to examine ourselves to see if there be any wicked way in us. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide my words and my thoughts, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, faith in the life of the believer. This chapter on faith was written to encourage, just by reminder, the Hebrew Christians who were to really continue in their faith, because many of them were going through persecution. The Christians were suffering because of their faith in Christ. And so he reminds them to keep living by faith. He says the just, he just told them just a moment ago, the just shall live by faith. Now, these Christians were going through a whole lot harder times than we have ever gone through. These Christians were grew up as Jews. And as they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they had heard the gospel, they had repented of their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for many of them, their family had totally forsaken them. We see some examples of that in the Gospel of John, for example. Remember when the two parents were asked if their boy indeed had been born blind. And they refused to give an answer. They said, well, you just need to ask him. They were afraid to say anything. Why? Because the Jews had already settled at the time of Christ that if anybody confessed that Jesus was Christ, the Messiah, then he was to be excommunicated, thrown out of the temple, would be unable to worship, would be rejected by his own family members. For the Jews at that time, think about it, if you converted to Christ, trusted Christ as your Savior and says that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, your family would actually hold a funeral for you. They would never fellowship with you again. They would kind of separate. If they would see you walking down the street, perhaps they would turn around and walk the other way. That's how much these people were despised. Not only were they despised in that way, but we also know that many of them died. Think about the time of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Many of those Christians were thrown in jail. If you were a Jew in a Jewish community, many of them could not get a job. Socially speaking, they were going through physical turmoil. They were going through social turmoil. And so he's trying to help them, encourage them, look, continue in the faith. Now, he spent from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 10 to help them to realize, look, what you have now is much better than what you had before as a Jew. Jesus Christ is better. You have a better sacrifice. Really, a key word for the book of Hebrews, again, is the word better. Jesus Christ is better than angels. He's better than Abraham. He's better than Isaac, better than Jacob, better than the Old Testament patriarch. He's better than Moses. He's better than anything. And we have not, we don't look at the Old Testament, we look at the New Testament. Now you have a New Testament, a new covenant. He shows that all the things of the old were really pointing to the new, to what has just arrived, to who they had placed their faith and trust in, Jesus Christ. And so the whole struggle from chapter 1 to chapter 10 is this, their faith. Their faith is being tested. Their faith has been wavering. He gives them an example, and we'll just go more in detail a little later in chapter 4 and chapter 5. He gives an example of the unbelief of the nation of Israel, how the promised land, the entering into the rest, the promised land was made available to them, but many did not enter. Why? Because of unbelief. And he's trying to help them understand that in the midst of persecution, you can have the rest from God that He promises in His Word. You can have rest. It is possible. So He's going to go on here and remind these Hebrew Christians of the one thing, of this one thing. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. He goes on in chapter 11, notice verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's who? God. So we're going to look at three things here, really dealing with the first three verses of chapter 11. And we're going to look at these three simple truths this evening. We're going to look, first of all, at the explanation of faith, according to verse 1. Number 2, we're going to look at the exaltation of faith. And number 3, we're going to look at the effect of faith. Let's look at the explanation of faith, first of all. Verse 1, he says, now faith is. So he's going to describe faith for us. He's going to explain to us what faith is. It is not, by the way, what we think sometimes in our mind when people say, well, keep the faith, brother. Or have faith that it won't rain tomorrow. That's not what he's talking about here. This is a different type of faith. Notice, faith is what? What is it? Is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, let's look first of all at the word substance. The word translated substance was really a legal term which stood for documents proving one's ownership of some piece of property. We would refer to those today as a title or a deed in our day. So in other words, it's that which becomes a foundation for another thing to stand on. It stands, think about it, as really an assurance, substance. The word substance occurs in the New Testament only just a few places. I'm talking about in the Greek, which is translated in different ways. But first of all, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you turn there, please, with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we get a better understanding of the meaning of the word. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice chapter 9 and down to verse 4. The Bible says, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. The word here translated is the word confident. We have the same word a few chapters later in chapter 11. Notice verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. The Bible says here, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it is were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. We find also that word in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, and we already dealt with that word, for as we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So in these places, it is rendered, the same word that we see for us here, or a substance, is rendered confident or confidence. In other words, the word properly means that which is placed under. That's what the word means. In other words, it is the ground, the basis, the foundation, the support. It is the reality, the substance, the existence, and it stands in contradiction with what is unreal, imaginary, and deceptive. So as we consider faith is the substance, what does that mean? The substance means that faith, our faith, is our foundation. It is our support. It is our basis. It is our ground. It is what is real. It is not something that is unreal and imaginary and deceptive. It is actually the opposite of that. Think about today, you people use faith in a generic way as if it's something imaginary or a bad luck or be lucky, have faith. But that is not the truth at all. Faith is actually something that is real. It is the substance. It is the foundation. It's something that you can stand on. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, things hoped for, we understand they're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about things to come, but we're also talking about things of the past. We're talking about the truths of the Word of God. Where do we get the truth? Where does our faith come from? We just talked about it in just a moment, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is it that produces faith? It is the Word of God. And so the Word of God, so think about it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things that we speak of that perhaps the world says, what are you talking about? Eternal life, the rapture, things of that nature. These are things hoped for. It is not something that we see right now with our eyes, but it is something that we hope for. And faith is the foundation for everything in our lives that we hope for, that is found in the Word of God. So he says, faith is now the substance of things hoped for. Notice number two, the evidence of things not seen. Now the word, again, translated evidence, has in its meaning the idea of proof. Proof. The Greek word elenkos occurs in the New Testament only one other time. The only time it occurs is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We all know the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That word is the same word as evidence. Reproof. In this verse, it is rendered reproof. It is the proof that convinces another of error and guilt in case of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, if this proof is certainly what? It is the Word of God again. Faith simply appropriates the proof, the evidence. Sometimes people say, well, your faith, it is not something that you can prove. It's actually the opposite. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing again, and hearing by the Word of God. The word evidence has as one of its meaning conviction. Those who walk by faith in the Word of God will be people of conviction. Here is a simple definition of faith. It is simply this: taking God at His Word. The confidence of faith is anchored where? In the Word of God. Faith is a total dependence upon God and His promises. So as we think about faith, now think about it. Faith is the substance. It is the foundation. It is what we see, something that is real. It is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. How in the world do we know it's real? Well, he's going to go talk about a whole chapter to see that it's been real throughout the centuries. How in the world could people die for that same faith? Why? Because it was real. Nobody's going to die for something that is not real. And you think about the centuries and those that were looking at the foundation, but again, this is the right foundation. It's the Word of God. There are other people that die for their faiths. But it is not anchored in the sure foundation of the Word of God. It is anchored in their own thinking, in their own way. And so we see here, as we consider the explanation of faith, is look, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. But number two, we have the exaltation of faith. He says, for by it, what's the it? Faith. Faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, he just told us the just, notice, now the just in chapter 10, verse 38, shall live by faith. It, faith, is the foundation and the reality of things hoped for and the conviction for those things which are not seen. And the Bible says that this faith, the elders, for by, notice, the elders, he's speaking particularly to the Hebrew patriarchs, those that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, those that he's about to list, such as we can read the names, but he talks about Abel, he talks about Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Abraham, he mentions again Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and then he talks about other Old Testament saints such as Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and all those different men. And so here, the elders that he's about to list, by it, by faith, by this faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, by that faith, they all obtained a good report. Now, if we study this list, I was reading through this list of the whole passage here, I was starting to think about not necessarily those that are present in the chapter. I was thinking about those that weren't. Because do you realize that there's a lot of people missing in here? That in my mind are pretty significant. One of those being Joshua. Now notice the way it is given in verse 24. He says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he, that's talking about obviously Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he, that's Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they, the nation of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian is saying to do were drowned. Notice verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. There's a whole history missing there. Between the time when Moses came out of Egypt, really Israel was redeemed to go to the promised land. And the next thing we see here, there is no mention of Joshua and Caleb in this particular time. He says, look, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. And what is interesting is, what is missing here is exactly what he talked about in Hebrews chapter 4. The same people that he talked about that did not have that faith that we're speaking of this evening. Now, let's go back there. Notice Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Because here, he had mentioned, and look, he's in this list he's about to give, and those are those patriarchs, the elders that obtained a good report. These are the ones that we take as examples, but we also notice those that are not present, who he's already made an example of before in chapter 3. Notice chapter 3, verse 8. I want us to read there, beginning in verse 8, to kind of refresh our minds here. He says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in where? The wilderness. The wilderness wanderings. That's what he's talking of. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, those not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the you skipped in Hebrews chapter 11. These people that refuse to believe what? They refuse to believe the Word of God. Isn't it what God told them? God told him clearly, he says, I have provided a land for you. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And as they came up to the land, Moses sent out some spies to go into the land, 12, one from each tribe. And they were to come and give a report of what was they would see in the land. They wanted to make sure that it was exactly what God said it would be. They wanted to check out the land, see what the landscape was and what the enemy was like. And so they came back and 10 of them out of the 12 gave an evil report. And they said, we cannot enter the land. Sure, it is exactly what God said, but we cannot enter in. We cannot defeat this enemy. And so he points out, though, it is because of their lack of faith, it is because of their unbelief that they did not enter into this rest. Now, before we continue in chapter 4, let me remind us here that this rest that he's speaking of in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 is not talking about eternal life. It is not. Why? Because the promised land is not a picture of heaven. It is a picture of living a victorious Christian life. Let me say this. When we cross into heaven, there will be no enemies there. There will be no enemies to fight. But when the children of Israel came into the promised land, they had to fight with the enemy. It is a picture of the Christian life and how we face enemies on a daily basis. But God is trying to remind them that in the midst of your Christian life, now that you've been redeemed out of Egypt, now that you've been redeemed out of the world, God wants to provide you something, an abundant life, and not just eternal life, an abundant life here on earth. He has a rest for you in the midst of your enemies. Now, because of their unbelief, they could not enter into this rest. They did not learn what it meant to live a victorious life over their enemies. So we continue in chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as ye said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So here he gives them a warning. He says, we have to fear, lest a promise being left us, any of us should seem to fall short of it. What is that talking about? A lack of faith is going to keep us from the promises of God that he has for our lives. That's what he's been trying to warn these Christians since the beginning. Look, this is all that we have in Christ, but I want you to know, believer, this is the problem. Your faith is tested, and you have to fear lest the promise that God has for your life, the abundant Christian life, you miss it completely. It's not God's design. You know, God has so much more in our lives than sometimes we even desire for ourselves. He does. And so the elders obtained a good report. I was considering here those that were not part of that list. And those that were not part of the list are those that he warned against. The same group of people that were not present there. And may I say that the walls of Jericho that fell down were available for that first generation? It was. But they didn't fall down on the first generation. Everybody that had a lack of faith from 21 years and older, except Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. It was the longest funeral procession in human history, where people were waiting to die for the next generation to come in. May I say that in the Christian life, it is possible for a Christian to get to the place where he's just waiting to die? May that not be us. May we understand that we ought not to be waiting to die. God has much more in our lives than just saying, I'm just going to hold on until Jesus comes. He's got much more for us. So the Bible says that for by the elders, notice, obtained a good report, knowing that there are some that did not obtain a good report. Now, obtain a good report literally means this, were witnessed of. Who was a witness of their faith? God was. This is not about, well, look at my faith, and us looking and patting ourselves on the back and say, well, look at my faith. This is about having faith in the eyes of God, who is a witness of the faith of these men throughout the centuries, and who today is a witness of our faith. In this chapter, he does not list a name that we haven't seen in God's Word. Think about that. All the names seen in Hebrews chapter 11, we know every single one of them. Why? Because they're recorded in the Word of God. And I wonder perhaps today if God is writing a book of those that have faith in God. And He's keeping a record of that. I think He might be. I think there's another verse somewhere in the Bible that talks about that. But I also think, he says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Again, faith is taking God at His word, believing who He is, believing His promises, and that is exactly where the children of Israel in the wilderness failed. They failed to get to the place and said, well, you know what, let's just take God at His word and let's just go in. You know what God said? Remember what He said? He told them, go in to possess it, and I will give it to you. That was it. That was it. And may I say, He tells us the same thing today in the Christian life, in His Word. We could look in many areas of the Christian life, but we can think of many of them. But He says, look, if you just do this, I will give you the victory in that area. So how do we not get the victory in those areas? Because of a lack of faith. So we see not only the explanation of faith, the exaltation of faith, but number three, we see the effect of faith. Verse 3, the Bible says of Hebrews chapter 11, He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want us to think here, faith gives us an understanding mind. He says here, through faith we what? We understand. Do we want understanding today? How does it get there? It comes by faith. You see, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith gives us an understanding mind. One of those areas faith gives us understanding is in the matter of creation. Faith helps us understand that the Word of God caused creation. Through faith, we understand that. Think about that. He says that the worlds, the worlds here is referring to the universe. The worlds, think about it, were framed. The word framed here conveys the idea of being ordered, being completed, being arranged. And if anybody has just studied just a little bit of the universe and think about the order of everything and how everything is standing in order and it's arranged and it's, the Bible says that when we should look at creation, we could see all the order that's out there. That should cause us to say there is a God. But may I say today that how does that understanding come about creation? It comes by faith. It comes through faith. Why does an unbelieving world try to come up with some type of theory that millions of years ago, boom happened out of nothing, and then there's a rock, and it rained on the rock for millions of years, and out of the rock came soup, and out of the soup came us? Why? They have to reason it. There's no understanding there about the history of humanity. There's no understanding and think that an explosion could make order and make chaos out of order. It does not happen. But how does it happen? It happens by faith. You take an atheist that denies God, and I'll show you him repenting of his sin and trusting Christ as his Savior, and all that evolution goes away. Why? Because by through faith, he understands that the world, the universe, was framed, was ordered, was arranged, was completed by the Word of God. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I know just a little bit to be dangerous. You know, the sun is at a perfect distance from the earth. If it was 10 degrees further or 10 degrees closer, It'd be either too cold to live in where we all die, or it'd be too close and we would all die because of the heat. Think about the moon produces the tides on the earth. And it is at the exact distance it needs to be for the tides to be where they need to be. If the moon was a little closer, 10 degrees closer, the tides would be so strong nobody could live on the earth. You think about how the speed of the earth, how it rotates. You think about all these things. You look at the order. Does this just happen? No, it doesn't. But may I say, it is through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the Word of God. Now in the Bible, there's two really Greek words that are used to speak of the Word. The first word is the word that is most common, is the word logos. But the next word is the word rhema. The word rhema is used here. In other words, he's not referring like logos, which would be the written word. He's referring here to the spoken word, the rhema. You see, the Word of God. How do we understand by faith? We understand by faith, through faith, that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. Yes, I think it goes back to Genesis. In the beginning, notice chapter 1. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Rhema. God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. You see, we understand through faith that the worlds, the universe was framed, ordered, arranged by the Word, the spoken, verbal Word of God. Let's go to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. This is what David said. Notice verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6. Notice, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You see here? Not only did God command, not only did he spoke, and it was light. There was light. Plants. There was plants. Water. And you could go through the days of creation. But not only did he speak, but he commanded and it stood fast. What is it that's keeping all this whole thing going today? What is it? The earth is spinning on nothing. It's hanging on nothing. Who is ordering? Who is controlling that? Who is holding that fast? It is God himself. How do we understand that? By faith. May I say that sometimes if we talk to people that debate an evolution, may I say you can't debate evolution with an atheist because they have a different worldview. There's no way they can understand creation. Why? Because it only comes through faith. You see, the emphasis is not on debating evolution. The emphasis is on debating. The reason why you promote evolution is because you love your sin and you want to stay in it. That's the issue. You see, you deny evolution because you want to live without being accountable to God, having your own rules. That's where the issue is. And when faith moves in, understanding comes in. But the worlds were framed by the Word of God. But then he says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, it sounds a little complicated, but it's very simple. The point he is now making is this, that the visible creation that we see today was not molded out of pre-existing materials, but was made from nothing. That's what he's saying. Everything that we see, that's what the word create mean. Nobody today creates anything. We understand that today. People make computers, build computers, assemble computers, But nobody creates a computer. Why? Because they use things they already have. But here the Bible says, by faith we understand that the things which are seen, that we see today, this building, yes, man built this building, but you know, he built this building out of something he already had. But God, when he created all things from nothing. Nobody can create anything. So let me ask you this, as we consider this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he's going to go on through the rest of the chapter. He says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the children of Israel, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, all by faith. We cannot escape this chapter without understanding that all of our Christian life is to be lived by faith. Now, I want us to consider before we end here that this must affect every area of our lives. How we converse with people, the things that we say, how we behave, everything. If faith is real, if faith is truly the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, if that same faith is what the elders obtained a good report by, if through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, think about how faith must affect our lives. Now that's why the Bible says we don't sorrow like others that have no hope. Now you think about around a funeral, our conversation ought to be different than the world. Why? Because there's more than death for the believer. There's more to life than that. And we understand our lives. How are we living our lives? You know what the world does? The world lives for the next vacation. The world lives for the next paycheck. The world lives for Friday night and Saturday night when they go out in the bar and live it up. Why? Because at the end of their life, that's it. But for the Christian, not so. You see, you ought not to find a Christian in a bar carousing the time. Why? Because of his faith that is real, that changes a person's life, and everything about the life because of faith ought to be different in our lives. May I say this evening, we ought to examine our faith. Because he's been warning them this whole time. And he's about to give them an example, but he's been warning them this whole time. Be not unbelieving concerning the promises of God. And I want you to know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, you can pray without faith. You can. You can pray just because it's your duty. And may I say that that prayer does not please God? But if you pray in faith believing, that pleases God. You know, you can even witness to other people, give them the gospel without faith. May I say that doesn't please God? You see, without faith, present in every single area of our lives, it is absolutely and utterly impossible for us to please Him. Is it not how the Christian life began? How was God first pleased with us? When faith steps in the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and His person. That's what pleases God. That's how it pleased God in the beginning of our relationship with Him, and that's what pleases God all along in our relationship with Him. Faith. The just shall live by faith. Are you living by faith? You know, sometimes when we're going through difficult times, Sometimes we ought just to sit back and say, you know what? I've tried everything I could. And now, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm just trusting you. You're in control. You see, a Christian without faith, when he gets hurt, says, you know what? I got to make this right, and I got to hurt that person in turn. But faith says, I'm just going to leave that up to God. You see how it affects our lives, ought to affect our lives? What? Faith. That is what pleases God. Let's ask the Lord to help us to have faith in every area of our lives. May I say that I look back at my life, I just was thinking right now, sometimes you get a little nervous or you get frustrated with things. You know what happens is you kind of look at your circumstances. You don't have your eyes on the Lord. And so you get to the place where you're like, it's all about you. It's all about what you can do. It's all about you surviving. That's a miserable way to live. But in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, now this is the explanation of faith. But what is faith? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. That's what faith is. Looking unto Jesus. Whatever circumstance you're going through your life, let me ask you this. Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Let's ask the Lord to help us.